Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to Walking the Unnamed Path. I am Michael Greywolf, artist, traveler, all-around geek, witch, and a brother initiate and soon-to-be teacher of the Unnamed Path.
And I'm Matthew Sidney, a songwriter, storyteller, urban bard, mystic, and a new initiate of the Unnamed Path.
For those who don't know, the Unnamed Path is an emerging spiritual path for men who love men, based on teachings received from our ancestors. It is the will of our ancestors that we resume our prehistoric role as spiritual leaders through offering such services as prophecy, energy healing, serving as midwives for the dying.
The Unnamed Path was founded in around 2007 when Hyperion made contact with a particular group of ancestral spirits of queer men, or as we say, men who love men, who desire to help us awaken to our spiritual gifts. If you haven't done so already, we urge you to check out Hyperion's original podcast episodes, which can be found at unnamedpath.com.
And if you happen to be a fan of iTunes, you can also go into iTunes and type in Unnamed Path, and it should be the only thing that pops up. But hopefully our show will pop up too now. Despite Hyperion's death in 2014, the Unnamed Path has continued to grow, and the ancestors continue to teach us and work with us. There are folks all over the world who have incorporated these teachings into their practices, and we are here to share ideas and continue to work with what Hyperion started. Excuse me.
Michael, I actually have a question for you. I think our callers will be interested, and you and I have never had this conversation. Will you share with us how you discovered the Unnamed Path?
Certainly. sorry. Oh, that coffee. Oh, my goodness.
It'll do that to you.
Yeah. Well, I was introduced to the Unnamed Path. Gosh, I'm trying to think. The year it was, it's been about 2 or 3 years since I was introduced to the path. It was at a gathering down in Texas called CMA, Council of Magical Arts. It was for their Beltane celebration, and I was actually introduced to some people who I hadn't seen before at the celebration, who apparently had been longtime goers. I just had never run across them. These people are two of our brothers. Chase, not, oh, sorry, I almost called Cliff Chase. I don't think he would mind that, but Cliff Camacho and Billy Gray are two of our brothers down in Texas. I believe Cliff is almost to the point where he is about to be ready to take on students as a teacher, but I don't think he's quite there yet. But anyways, I was having a conversation with Cliff around the bonfire, and he was telling me about his experiences with the Dark Goddess and whatnot, and telling me a little bit about the path, and I was like, okay, this is sounding really interesting to me, because at that time, my spiritual practice was kind of at a standstill. I was looking, I was very eclectic Wicca, or eclectic witchcraft. I wasn't really Wicca. And everything you were saying was, you know, just really, you know, making sense to me. And then when he said the gods of the Unnamed Path were consorts to each other, they were not consorts to the goddess, I was like, okay, I can really identify with this now. And I was like, I would really like to hear more about it. And around that time was when the first Stone and Stang was also happening. So I have a flyer from the first Stone and Stang that he had and gave me. And after the event, you know, I looked up the Unnamed Path, looked at the website, started listening to some of the podcasts, and decided to get in touch with Cliffy. And he then put me in touch with Chase Powers, who ended up becoming my teacher for the Unnamed Path. And that's how I got involved. What about you, Matthew?
Oh, boy. So I discovered the Unnamed Path fairly recently, probably a year and a half ago. In my background, I had been an avid fan of Wicca since childhood. And then as I got older, I branched off into additional practices outside of that. And around the time, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I started getting involved in ancestor work and ancestral healing and getting more in touch with guides and ancestral guides. And I started getting messages from them about queer folk and their spiritual gifts, and that in our culture, we're really not encouraged to or taught in any way how to dig into and manifest and use those gifts. Our modern tolerant society, quote unquote, is extremely materialistic. And I started getting these ideas, and a couple people I was close to I could talk with, and they were on the same page. But it was really refreshing. Someone online posted a link about the Unnamed Path, and that's how I discovered Hyperion's podcast. And it was incredibly affirming to me, because listening to his podcast and listening to the messages that he was getting, it dovetailed perfectly with things that I was being shown, and that, to be honest, I was a little resistant to. So it kind of made me feel like, oh, okay, well, if I'm insane, at least I'm not the only person who's insane in this way. And then, so it was shortly after that, I think it was after I'd started listening to the Hyperion's podcast, that one of the teachers announced that they were starting a class, and I decided to take the plunge. And it's been an amazing experience ever since.
Awesome. Oh, goodness.
I think someone had emailed me some questions. I'd like to touch on those, but maybe we should open up to listeners if anyone wants to dial in and chat with us. If anyone has any questions, you can dial in live at 347-308-8222. Again, that's 347-308-8222. We welcome you to call in. Michael and I are doing this because there's a lot of folks who want to learn more about the Unnamed Path. It's not a path that you're going to find books on at Barnes & Noble. So this is something that we're doing to help folks out around the world who want to learn a little bit more.
And if you happen to be on like the Blog Talk website, there is the option to join the chat room, which we have open. If you want to pop in, ask any questions on there, feel free to. Let's see. I do see that we do have someone over here. Let me pop in and see if they are wanting to be on the air. why don't you, Matthew, when we were introducing ourselves, you said you were an urban bard. Would you mind telling us a little bit about that real quick?
I'm a singer-songwriter, and I do see myself as an urban bard, meaning I see the role of the songwriter in society as being one of not only entertaining people, but also educating people, and also helping folks to discover their personal myth, and also raising awareness about social issues and environmental issues, or whatever issues are important and pertinent. So for me, you know, as a lifelong student of mysticism and of magic, so to speak, music is my magic, if you will. That's my tool for receiving inspiration from the divine and then conveying that message to listeners in whatever form that takes.
Very cool. Well, you know, since this is our first episode, I don't think we're really going to have a lot of people calling in just yet to, you know, call and interact with us. But we're hoping with, you know, the next few shows that we have that we'll get some people calling in and maybe giving us topics for future shows. We do have a few kind of general questions that we tend to get asked as Brothers of the Unnamed Path, and we're going to touch on a few of them because some of these can become long conversations. And so we'll try to space these out a little bit. But let me see. Before we jump into that, I just wanted to say right now, if I sound a little flustered, today has been a very hectic day for me. Today is actually Pride here where I live. So I came running straight over here. Yeah, I came running over to get to my computer in time for the show. My partner and I had gone to brunch with a friend, and we were walking around the Pride festivities. And right as our show is starting is when the parade is supposed to be starting over there. So he's over there with our friends. And so I'm over here. But also got some news that my partner's sister is in labor today.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. He's going to have a new baby nephew at some point today or tomorrow, you know, however long it takes for him to decide to come out.
Very cool.
And also today is for those who have been following the Unnamed Path for a while now, they know that one of our brothers passed away recently, John Ravenmoon. And today is actually a little memorial party that his partner and friends and family are holding for him. So a lot of our brothers on like the East Coast, West Coast. You're on the East Coast, Matthew.
Yeah.
Are right now celebrating Ravenmoon's life. So I just wanted to say that, you know, we miss Ravenmoon very much, but we're happy he is no longer in pain after a long fight with cancer.
Yeah, I only had the opportunity to meet him once, and it was unforgettable. He was sick at the time, but his spirit and his beauty shone through, and the most memorable thing to me are his beautiful eyes and just peering into them, and was like looking at a night sky full of overlapping stars, just incredible. And you know, it's, you know, of course, you know, he is missed, and but he's with us. He's still with us, and we're very blessed for that. And I consider myself very fortunate. I did have the opportunity to meet him in person.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to make one announcement before we start going into questions. Stone and Stang is fast approaching. It is starting October 7th. It is a spiritual retreat for men who love men, and it is organized by Brothers of the Onion Path. We have some very exciting events scheduled, one of which is going to be an ancestor ball, go dancing with the ancestors. You could go to stoneandstang.com to get more information, to register. There are actually still some spots open for programs. So if there's any listeners who are experienced in shamanic journeying or energy healing, or if there's something you'd like to present on, you don't have to be a member to be a presenter to put together a workshop. So go to stoneandstang.com and feel free, even though it says that the deadline has passed, we've extended it. So feel free to submit any proposals that you may have. And it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Where is it going to be this year?
It's going to be at, it's going to be in Santa Cruz Mountains, California. And the theme is Guardians of the Gates, Bridging the Physical and Spiritual Worlds, October 7th through 10th. And register at stoneandstang.com. And, of course, you can contact me on Facebook, Matthew Sidney. If you want, if you need more information or have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. I'll be glad to help anyone if they need any guidance, if they're thinking of coming. It's going to be really exciting, and I think it's especially a valuable opportunity. I know I've met a lot of folks who are curious about Unnamed Path. They want to know more about it. You know, it's a little different from other paths that are out there where you can just go to the bookstore and buy a bunch of books and feel like you have a sense of what it's all about. So for anyone who's curious about maybe taking the class or maybe getting more deeply into it, I think attending Stone and Stang is a great way to meet the brothers. I mean, at least in my experience, a big part of what we are is the fellowship and the brotherhood. It's you know, there,
yes.
It's a family. So, you know, being able to meet some of the folks in person is going to be very valuable.
Yeah, especially since, you know, we are still fairly a young tradition, so we're kind of scattered all over the place. There, I like to say there's like three major hubs for the Unnamed Path. There is California, where a lot of brothers are, and that was where Hyperion was based out of. Next would be Portland, where we have, I want to say, it's like four or five brothers up there, and three of them are teachers. We just had a couple of teachers move to Portland. And next would be Texas, with there's a small handful of them there, and there's like three of us here in the Midwest.
There's a couple initiates in the Midwest, and I think only a couple on the East Coast. I think one in Florida, who would be me, and I think we have one in New York, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that would be Kai. Yeah, and yeah, that's one, two, three. Yeah, there's three of us here in the Midwest. There's me. There's our brother Paul, who's just north of Chicago, and Ryan is in St. Louis. So we're kind of scattered.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one of the things that, you know, I really wanted to learn about it, and I was really thankful that it is possible to take the class remotely. You know, my teacher is based in California. So, you know, I've become really, really good at calculating time changes.
Yeah, I wish, you know, I had that.
Well, believe me, at the beginning of that year, I did it. But, you know, it's amazing what your brain can pick up if you really need to. You know, I'm looking at the questions that were emailed in, and there's one that's jumping out at me, because I've heard a lot of people ask this. is the name Path only for men who love men? And then he clarifies that with, I know a bisexual woman who loves men who love men, and she incorporates some of the podcasts into her practice. So, Michael,
yeah,
I'm going to ask
fairly,
you,
that's
I'll
a fairly
give
common
my
question.
Opinion, but I'll let you go first and share your take on it.
Yes, the Unnamed Path is specifically for men who love men. Gay man, bisexual, if you are a transgendered male who loves men, then you are someone who is this path is for. It's all about, it's our energetic vibrations that make this path specific for men who love men. Our energetic vibration is going to be different than that of, you know, women who love women or men and women who love each other. So that is what Hyperion was, you know, kind of aiming for when he was getting this path founded. Not to say that you cannot use the teachings and techniques Hyperion put out there in the podcast to, you know, discover your own mysteries, and we highly encourage that. We've always said that there is a sister tradition out there that is women who love women, but we as men cannot, you know, tap into that. We cannot dictate that because, honestly, we are men. It's not our mysteries. But if there happens to be a woman out there who is able to get tap into her mysteries through what Hyperion taught, we want to know about it. We want to help any way we can. We want to celebrate it, you know. So that is my take on it.
Yeah, actually, I have a very good friend who's asked me more than once, oh, is there a spinoff of Unnamed Path for women who love women? And my reaction is, not yet, so you better get on it. Because at least in my experience, you know, the pool of ancestors that we draw from, and especially the deities, are very affirming of that. So I think it's more of, you know, let's say, for instance, women who love women. I think it's more along the lines of they're waiting for a woman who loves women or a group of women who loves women to adopt some of these techniques and to start tapping into and contacting with their unique tribe of ancestral spirits and to tap into their unique spiritual energy signature. So it's there waiting on the other side of the veil, but it's up to folks on this side of the veil to reach out for it. You know, and then Michael, I think you said it, and I think also Hyperion mentions it on his podcast. You could be a straight person, you can be undecided, and you can do exercises and follow the teachings that are outlined in Hyperion's podcast. These are practices and tools and lessons that are good for everybody. You know, it's just that more in the realm of if you're not a man who loves men, you're not going to, especially when it comes to initiation, you're not going to really tap into and resonate with that same energy effectively. And then also an important part for me when I went through my year of study was the shadow work. And a big part of that is healing the wounds and issues that gay men and bi men have in our society. You know, we are carrying on our shoulders, you know, a couple thousand years or longer of oppression. And this is some unique baggage and wounds that we need to heal in ourselves so that we can go forth and be healers. Someone who's not a man who loves men doesn't necessarily suffer from that same baggage, that same societal baggage.
Mm-hmm. funny story. I've been trying to remember who exactly told me this, but there was an instance when, Hyperion was getting all these questions and whatnot, you know, is there a path for women or something like that. He found himself somehow, he doesn't remember how he did it, but he found himself, you know, in front of the ancestors of women who love women, and they were like, who are you? Why are you here? Go away, basically. So, and, you know, another thing is, we as men, who are we to tell women how to worship, how to do their practices? That's another
right.
thing. If there was a woman who came in who was telling us as gay men, no, you need to focus more on this and not that, we'd be like, how do you know this? You know, why are you telling us this? So that's another thing. You know, it's definitely, we cannot be telling women how to do the stuff, or even straight people, that this is how you do stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a little sticky because as our society evolves, the politically correct approach is to present equality as sameness. So as we become more tolerant, we tend to work under the assumption that there are no differences between us. And I think that does a disservice. Personally,
yeah.
I do ascribe to the idea that there are genetic differences between queer folks and straight folks. And I think that that also transcends the biological level. I do think that there are unique spiritual destinies for queer folks versus straight folks. And we've seen this, I think, in anthropology, in indigenous cultures, you know, in many other cultures. You're what we would call queer folks today, back in a pre-colonized cultural context, these folks would often be recognized as being unique, and they would have a unique spiritual role. They would comprise basically a special class of shamans or a special class of priesthood. You know, cross-dressing male priests are something that existed in pre-colonial America and also in pre-Roman Europe and pre-Christian Middle East. So, you know, all over the world, you know, it's something that was recognized. Yes, there's a difference, but it doesn't mean these people are bad or inferior. They just have a special role to play. And I guess for me, I did run out and read because Hyperion recommended it. In one of his first podcasts is Two Flutes Playing by the author's last name is Romer. I can't remember his first name offhand.
It's
Andrew Reimer. So anyone, you know, listening who hasn't read that book, I would strongly encourage them to do so because in many ways that's going to give you an introduction to the purpose of the unnamed path and where the unnamed path is going to take you. That's kind of the springboard, I think, for much of our work.
Yeah. And just, you know, if you do happen to get the book, it's not a big book, but it is a lot to digest. We, you know, when the students read the book, we tell them, you know, take your time because you're going to want to read a few pages and then stop and digest it, because portions of the book are actually channeled. Like part of it is an ancestor of men who loves men. Another one is a celestial being. And then there's also sections from Andrew Reimer. So it's a meaty read. It's not a big book, but it is a meaty read.
Yeah. I couldn't read it from beginning to end. I had to jump. I eventually read the whole thing, but I did find myself jumping from part to part in the book. I couldn't read it in a linear way. So there's another question.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, our brother Paul is in the chat room. He says he didn't get. Let's see. Where was it? Yes. Okay. As a new initiate of the Unnamed Path, one of the things that most impressed him is a sense of brotherhood that he has with the other initiates of the path. He didn't really get that from other queer pagan groups. So, yay. I'm glad you're getting that from the Brotherhood, Paul.
Yeah, I definitely want to echo what Paul said. I mean, for me, you know, if you just want to learn about energy healing and magic and shamanic journeying, there's many ways you can learn those things. You know, you could listen to Hyperion's podcast and then go off. There's many, many other resources to explore. Unnamed Path is, you know, it's a fraternity. You're being adopted into a family. And for me, my initiation was this incredibly beautiful and unforgettable experience. And I was just so grateful for all the folks who came out to help and participate. You know, it wasn't just the students and the teacher. You know, many, many other brothers who were able to came and participated and helped. And it was just an incredible rite of passage.
Mm-hmm. We have another question in the chat room. As a potential new student, is there something that one can, is this something that one can go into without much experience? And I'm guessing he means the Unnamed Path in general. And yes, as when I first started the Unnamed Path, like I said, I was very eclectic. I had no type of formal training in witchcraft or magic at all. The Unnamed Path is my primary tradition. So, you know, all the meditations and, you know, whatever magic that we teach in the courses is my first, like, really in-depth, what's the word I'm looking for? My first experience with formal training. There are, you know, lots of brothers who have had formal training in other traditions that they still practice. And that's another thing. You can be a brother of the Unnamed Path and still be a member of some other tradition. We have brothers who are members of fairy tradition. We have a brother who's a druid. You know, it's just all up to you. What do you think, Matthew?
I think you're absolutely right. A lot of the folks, you know, I definitely had a background in, although I hadn't been trained, I did have a background in Wicca. I was an initiate of primordial sound. I had spent years working with and learning from a Lakota Oglala Sioux holy man and learning from that tradition before I came into the Unnamed Path. But for someone who's brand new to spirituality, I think it is safe. And I think the classes are geared definitely towards someone who doesn't have a background in whether it be magic or shamanic practice or healing. And it is very much what you're going to learn is going to be a foundation in each of the four aspects that Unnamed Path teaches. If anything, it lays a good foundation and is going to prepare you to continue to learn. Because, I mean, for me, do I feel like I'm an expert in anything after my initiation? Not at all.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm I'm you know, an expert in admitting that I don't know very much. So for me, it's helped to organize. I mean, for me, you know, these are things I studied on my own. Taking the class provided me with structure. So now I have a foundation. Instead of it just being a bunch of rubble, it's kind of like a smooth, solid platform. So as I continue to learn, as my practice continues to grow, I feel like I'm building on a steady foundation rather than a haphazard one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot of our brothers specialize in various other things, and they use the Unnamed Path to help expand what they are already have learned or are learning at the moment. We have brothers who are very much into different types of herbalism, or we have brothers who have been students of the Body Electric School. And we have other brothers who do a lot of just various types of magic, sigil work, or even curse work. You know, we have brothers who are very much into hoodoo, which is, you know, one of the aspects that Hyperion brought to the Unnamed Path. He was very much into hoodoo, so a lot of our spells that we end up learning initially are very much rooted in hoodoo.
So there's another question that is jumping out at me that I think is interesting. Why do the Wiccan gods have to be necessarily heterosexual in contrast to the homosexuality of the Unnamed Path gods?
Well, I would say that the, you know, how am I wanting to say this? Depending on what branch of Wicca you are looking into, if you're saying like traditional Gardnerian Wicca, Gardner was, I remember correctly, he was a heterosexual male. And so, you know, that's definitely something that he can understand, he can identify with. And also the fact that Wicca or general paganism, it's usually based on some sort of agrarian system, and fertility to them is, you know, a man and a woman together. I don't know if that sounded right.
No, it makes sense to me. My take is, I just thought it was an interesting question, because for me, I don't think of the gods as having a sexual orientation per se. Mm-hmm. I see the gods as, when they interact with us, they manifest themselves to us in ways that we can relate to, that reflect and mirror our experience so that we can have a stronger connection with them. So, for someone to say, well, because I think what this person was saying is, well, I think what this person was saying was that he personally doesn't see the Wiccan gods as heterosexual, so why is it necessary to have an unnamed path? I don't think it has anything to do with the gods. It has to do with the people. It has to do with the tradition. In its origins, modern Wicca, Gardnerian, Alexandrian, you know, et cetera, Buckland, the Farrars, those lineages, it was very much a boy-girl, polarity-based magical system where the emphasis was on men have a certain energy signature, women have a certain energy signature that is different, and we're coming together to balance those out, because when those complementary energies are in balance, we're able to create. And I think many queer people who are natural witches and who have been drawn to Wiccan covens have felt a little out of place. And I've certainly heard stories, I've spoken to people who said, oh yeah, I used to belong to this Wiccan coven, but it got kind of awkward and I didn't feel like I quite belonged because I was gay and I didn't really fit in with what they were doing. So I think that's where Unnamed Path comes in, because again, it's not like, oh, here's a coven that's going to tolerate you. Here's a coven that's going to let you be a part of what we're doing. Unnamed Path is a fraternity that says you're a part of what we're doing because you're a gay man, because you're a bisexual man, because you have that unique energy signature, because you already have the masculine and feminine polarity within yourself, that you have the ability to be your own working partner. You know, to put it in Wiccan terms. So that's kind of how I understand it. But I think everyone probably has their own take. I kind of see the Unnamed Path deities, they do present as homosexual to us because these are aspects of divinity that are reaching out to queer folks to help us, to help awaken the divinity within us in a way that we don't have to be part of a group or a system that makes us feel like a round peg trying to fit into a square hole.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We have a couple of other things that popped up in our chat room. Let's see. Chris right here is wanting to know, what is the commitment in time that a new student needs to have in order to become a new student? What is the curriculum? You as a new student, Matthew, would you like to... we're a new brother, not
it's,
a new student.
It's very fresh in my mind. So it's 1 year. The class is 1 year. And classes are... once every 2 weeks. And classes, each class might be, depending on how much is going on, it could be an hour to a 2 hours in length. So figure you have to carve out about 2 hours every 2 weeks to meet with your teacher and your class. If it is something that can be done over Skype or Google Hangouts. The only exception is that there are two times that the student needs to be in person with the teacher, and that is there is a mid-year session, which will usually take place over a weekend, that needs to be in person for certain lessons that can only be taught in person. And then again, at the end of the year, initiation has to be in person. So... those are the commitments. I did not find the homework arduous. I have friends who are studying other paths who have a tremendous workload in terms of homework. They have a syllabus. They have book reports they have to do. They have presentations they have to give. They have tons and tons of reading to do. They have tons and tons of studying to do on top of the meditation and the practice, and this, that, and the other thing. Unnamed Path, is not going to consume your life. I'm an incredibly busy person. I have a day job. I am a songwriter, recording artist, performer. I'm also very much involved in my community. I was able to continue with all of those activities while I was going through my year with the Unnamed Path. That being said, you do want to be in a position to carve out a little bit of time every day. We do have daily practice, which basically starts out mostly meditation. But honestly, if you're a spiritual person, whether you're taking the class or not, it's a good idea to have at least 10-15 minutes a day that you can devote to yourself, that you can devote to your relationship with spirit, even if it's just meditating or doing a mantra for that time. Unnamed Path is not, it's not arduous. However, I think maybe for some folks, some of the shadow work is psychologically arduous. But
that has
nothing to do with time.
Shadow work is usually one of those things that kind of weeds out those who just, they can't make it through. And that's another thing. Not everyone who starts taking the course will end up finishing the course. Life happens. So for some reason or another, you might get halfway through and then boom, you have to stop taking classes. That if that happens, you're always welcome to come back and retake and continue on to the courses. There are very few instances where someone has had to leave and they are not invited back to take courses. Another thing that I don't think Matthew talked about is depending on the teacher, you will talk with your teacher when you are trying to set up a time. They will see, if it's one student, if it's multiple students, they will try to get what times you have free to find the best time to do the classes. And there's also, Matthew said homework. There's also class dues. There's a fee for the classes. A lot of people who, when they hear that, they're like, oh, I have to pay for this? Yes, you do have to pay. This is something that someone is taking time out of their schedule to teach you. That's something that they have, compiled lesson plans. What is the saying? You can't get something for nothing. Well, and it's a sacrifice.
It's work for the teacher. And I'm a believer that there always needs to be an energy exchange. And for me, I did not find the cost of the class to be a hardship at all. There are folks I know who will go to a weekend spiritual retreat and spend double the amount of money of what it cost me to study the Unnamed Path for a year. So, if it's and again, I'm of the mind that I think a lot of things are spirit driven. So if you're meant to, if this path is meant for you, it's going to click somehow. And I have experience with other initiatory paths where sometimes you see people who are curious and they start out, but then they drop out. And I think lots of times it just has to do with the energies. It has to do with where that person is in their life. Just because you want something doesn't necessarily mean that it's right for you at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And, or sometimes, getting halfway gets you to where you needed to be, but then maybe you need a year or two to process that before you can take the next step. And that's okay. I think we have to be patient with ourselves and patient with one another and not see that as failure. It's okay for some folks to go slow. And that's, I think, with any initiatory tradition. I've seen it with other systems as well.
Another question that popped up in the chat room is, what is shadow work? Now, you go ahead and read.
Shadow work has to do with facing your shadow. Some people call it their inner demon. If you're familiar with psychology, Carl Jung talks about the shadow as an aspect of our consciousness, and that's where all of our fears live. Our repressed feelings live there. If we have a traumatic experience, we've blocked out the memory. That memory lives in our shadow. If we have feelings that we are ashamed of and that we don't want to admit to, those feelings live in our shadow. And shadow work is an essential element in developing the capacity to do good shamanic work, because doing shamanic work means diving into the dark recesses of the soul. And when you dive into those dark recesses of the soul, you have to be prepared to deal with your shadow and your inner demons, or you're not going to be able to do good work. And that's why it's an essential element of the coursework.
Mm-hmm. And another thing is, even though it's part of the coursework, shadow work is something that we are continually working on. Once you reach initiation, it's not, oh, I don't have to do shadow work anymore. Wrong. If you do not do your shadow work on
it goes
a fairly
on.
Regular basis,
it's even more intense.
if you don't pay attention to your shadow, it will bite you. It will literally. We have one brother who at some point hopefully we'll get him on the show, Sphinx, who loves doing shadow work. Seems like he's always doing shadow work. But yeah, we always like to say shadow work is never done until you have died, until you've passed on. Because there's always going to be something that comes up that you thought you had worked through that, oh, I guess I didn't, or something new that pops up on your journey of life that you're going to have to work through. It's all the fears and stuff that you're going to come across in life that you need to address and work with.
Yeah, and I think, and I've seen, it's not unique to the Unnamed Path. There are many other systems, especially mm-hmm. shamanic systems, that emphasize shadow work and that even call it shadow work. I think it's particularly important in Unnamed Path because what we go through in our shadow work, for me, in many ways, seems like a reflection of the relationship between the two gods in Unnamed Path. If you listen to Hyperion's podcast yet, there's one deity who's very cerebral and intellectual and selfless, and his partner is very primal and instinct-based. And, just as, the ideal divine relationship is that these two divine lovers come together in love, we need to have that relationship inside ourselves. The self that lives up in the head needs to heal. As part of our healing, develops a loving relationship with that which we have been suppressing and denying in ourselves, so that we can be transmuted and become more whole.
Okay, let's see. What else? Well, just so you know, in the future we plan on making the show about an hour long, but since this is our first episode and there's not really another show after this, most of the shows on the Blog Talk on Witch School tend to have two shows in a night. We're the only show right now on Saturdays, so we can kind of go a little bit long if we need to, depending on in the future if we have guests or if we get into some really good discussions.
Oh, cool.
We kind of have a block of a couple of hours that we could do if we needed to.
Very cool.
Let's see. There was something I was going to ask. Oh, what was it? My brain just went poof. I was like, I had a question. I had a statement. What was it? Oh.
I don't know. I don't know how to jog your memory.
Yeah, I know. It kind of just popped in. Before we end up closing the show for the question I wanted to ask you, Matthew, that I don't think I've asked you before. One thing, when we do initiation and Unnamed Path, there are four deities in the Unnamed Path: the Dark God, mm-hmm. Light God, Dark Goddess, and Light Goddess. When we are going through our classes, you are introduced to all four of them, and you build a relationship with them. And you tend to kind of vibrate more with one than the others. And if you make it to initiation, that one god or goddess becomes your patron or matron deity. Who was your matron or patron, Matthew?
I am a child of the Light Goddess.
Okay. I myself am a child of the Dark God. And since I'm also going through the teacher training, I have a secondary parent who is the dark goddess.
Okay. Yeah, there's a nice balance there.
Yes. Whenever you become a teacher in the path, you always get a secondary parent, and it's the opposite gender of the one that you got when you were initiated. Paul is light god. Awesome. Paul in the chat room was saying he found the Velvet Rage to be very helpful in shadow work, and that's very true. The Velvet Rage is another book that Hyperion mentions in the podcast that it's also kind of a hard read. I mean, it's, again, not a big book, but it's a very weighty read with the emotions and whatnot. When I was going through classes, I wasn't able to find a copy of the book, but I did find it on audiobook. So, and I believe it's the author of the Velvet Rage who reads it in the audiobook that I have.
I was able to get a print copy. And
I eventually found a print copy. Yeah. But yeah. What were you saying, Matthew?
Yeah, I was going to say it was towards the beginning of the course that that book was assigned, and it's invaluable. And I think for some folks to talk about, I'm a woman who loves men, or I'm a man who loves women, is unnamed path right for me? Well, you know, if you take the class, one of the first things you're going to have to do is read a book about the psychological problems that we as gay men have in society. So if you're a straight man or a straight woman, you're probably not going to get a whole lot out of that book. Because, again, it's a system that, you know, that helps us heal ourselves so that we can go forth and be better healers in the community. And the Velvet Rage is invaluable. I would agree with Paul immensely. It's invaluable for shadow work because the experience of queer men in our society, we do have unique baggage. We do have a unique pattern of what we experience from society, how we deal with denial, how we cope with the biases in our society, and there are certain patterns that we tend to follow. And when we recognize those patterns, we can recognize how some of these patterns, some of these coping mechanisms, impede our happiness. And through the shadow work, coupled with reading The Velvet Rage and understanding these coping mechanisms that we've adopted, we're tooled up to make more conscious decisions about how to live and what's really going to make us happy, how to truly live a more fulfilled life, how to really be at peace with ourselves. And I would say anyone who's listening, if you're gay or bi, male or female, even if you don't think Unnamed Path is right for you, I would definitely check out The Velvet Rage because it's very psychological, but it's not intellectual. It's a lot of its vignettes and stories that you're going to relate to, and you are going to come away with tools that will allow you to be easier on yourself and to be more happy.
Yes. Well, you know, it's almost time to kind of, you know, start wrapping up. But before we go, let's see, what was it? Do you have anything you would like to add, Matthew?
Final announcements. Definitely visit stoneandstang.com. If you can't come and join us this year, it looks like we're scheduling them every other year. So definitely check it out, because if you're not able to make it this year, there'll definitely be another one coming up. Again, There are still slots available for workshops, presentations. So any folks out there that have something to share that fits in with the theme of the weekend, which is essentially bridging the physical and spiritual and shamanic work, feel free to submit. Also, you can message us, either Michael or myself, with any questions or topics you want us to address in future episodes. And please be sure to tune in. Our next episode is September 24th, I believe.
Yes, I do believe that is right. Yes, September 24th. And yeah, if you have any more questions on the Unnamed Path, you can always visit unnamedpath.com or send an email to, I believe it's, now I can't remember. I believe the email for the Unnamed Path is theunnamedpath@gmail.com. Oh, I hope I got that right. but if you have trouble with that one, you can email us here for the show at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter account, if you happen to do Twitter. We're going to get it more up and running. I kind of have to manage a couple different Twitter accounts, so I unfortunately slacked a little bit on our Twitter. But it's @walking_theup. And we also have a Facebook group, a Facebook page. There is a Facebook group for the Unnamed Path if you're interested in that. And we're always, you know, if you are wanting to know about when teachers are going to be announcing classes, that is a great way to find out when teachers will be announcing classes. They'll also announce in other groups online. But definitely the Unnamed Path Facebook group is the place to go for that. But we do have a Facebook page. It is facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. And just, you know, for next episode, you know, when we were talking earlier about, you know, the time zones and whatnot, I kind of got a little confused when I was setting up for this episode. I'm so used to thinking, backwards for when I'm counting, when we're interacting with the brothers in California, that I totally got the time flipped when I was setting this up with our station manager. So next week's show the next show will not be at 3 Central Time. It will be 2 Central Time, I believe. Yes. That's
3 o'clock 2 p.m. Eastern, 2 o'clock Central.
Yes. That's the time that me and Matthew had decided on, and I totally messed up. And I'm so sorry for that, Matthew.
Well, you know, I can't criticize because I'm sitting here counting on my fingers. So, math is hard.
Yeah. But also, if you have, you know, a little announcement, if you happen to be going to Chicago Pagan Pride next weekend, I'm going to be there with my partner. This will be our second time attending Chicago Pagan Pride, and we're very excited for it. I think I'm going to be meeting up with our brother Paul at some point at Pagan Pride. So that should be a lot of fun.
Cool. Great.
Yes. And again, if you have any questions or, you know, ideas for future shows, because we do want this to be a conversation with listeners. You know, we want you to give us questions or topics that you have come across in your own studies of the Unnamed Path, or something that you're interested in the Unnamed Path that we can expound upon. You know, if we need to, we can go talk with the other brothers and be like, hey, we had this great question. How can we answer this? So please, you know, email us, find us on Facebook. I think I covered everything.
Okay, great. I wanna thank everyone for tuning in, and you know, we look forward to next time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you to witchschool.com. I believe it's Witch School of the Carillions, Pagans Tonight Radio, for letting us have this platform to do this show. And yeah. Well, again, it was awesome talking to you, Matthew. I look forward to our next show.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, me too. All right, Michael. And have a good night. And everybody out there, have a beautiful and safe rest of your weekend. And thank you for tuning in to Walking the Unnamed Path. We look forward to walking with you again next time on September 24th. Be safe.
Yes, you too. Goodbye. Let's see. I'll get this outro. And okay. And all right. Bye, everyone. Have a good day.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.